For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Hey guys, welcome back to our Craftsmanship Podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara, and I'm here with my brother and co-host, Evan.
Hello, Dustin.
Hello.
Hello.
All right. What do you got for us this evening, Devin?
Knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is knowing not to put it in a fruit salad.
Little jokes. I like that one. I've heard that one before.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, that one's
I just heard it on Instagram.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, not much is said there. Just to be said. Just, yeah, you can know something, but doesn't mean you know.
Right, exactly. Yeah, the difference between knowledge and wisdom.
Right? That's right.
Knowing how to use what you know is wisdom.
Yeah, sometimes... who knows if I forgot either, but... I will say getting older helps with the wisdom.
Right.
It's just, you know, a lot of failures, not serious failures, but like,
right.
Oh, that broke and I have to fix it now.
Right.
Oh, that's what those things are for. Oh, okay. I better watch some YouTube videos on that. And it just adds up. And then I do, my favorite thing is, and I've thought about it after I've done it, where you learn something, and then it happens to be like a month later, someone else doesn't know that thing you just learned, and you act like they should know it. Like, you didn't just learn the shit, like, a month ago.
You don't know about spark plugs?
Or someone brings up some random, like, knowledge about, like, the Sistine Chapel was painted in this year, and someone, like, guesses something that's way off, like, I don't know, 1920s,
way off.
But you're like, what? Even though you like just learned about it, you know, in a class a week before. I love that instant, like, God, what? Come on, who would ever think such a thing? So you just learned
knowledge.
It, dummy. Settle down.
Yeah, that's one of those things that especially as a teacher and a maker together, you know, like often my, I guess it's like maybe ingenuity, you know, it's like knowing how to do things and then understanding how things go together, then you can kind of like, you can solve like maker problems easier, right? It's like you have this inventiveness that comes with experience and doing things. And like, you might not have done that exact same thing, but you're like, well, it makes sense that this works this way and this does this. So try it this way. You know, like
there's a lot of that, instant obvious knowledge when you're raising a small child. Like, what are you doing? You know, it's a lot of that.
Right. Yeah.
Why would you do that? They don't know. It's like, don't, if I say bring your brother in here, don't wrap your arm around his neck and drag him. Like, that's the worst way to bring him here. He's upset. You could have killed him. Like, just, you know,
just like
hold his hand.
I followed the directions.
Here he is. I've delivered him. Like, have I ever brought you from one room to the other by the neck?
Bring your brother in.
He's just like, he's like freaking out. Like, why is he crying? And I look, she's got him, you know, in a chokehold. I'm like, all right, you know, Russian mafia.
I know, right?
Yo, he's your man. I'm like, no.
Just throw him in front of you.
All right, he didn't do anything.
Papa Devin, I'm sorry.
It'd be a shame if my friends made a visit to your room. Brought you here to me.
My muscle. Right. The little girl.
But anyway, yeah, good stuff. Yeah. Funny quotes all on Instagram, so.
Nice, yeah.
That's it.
That's a good one. Right on. Cool. Well, I just got back from a event at my daughter's school at Corinne School. Mm-hmm. This is an event that they call Fresh Produce, and they do it each year. And what they do is all the students, or a bunch of the students, tonight was like maybe something like 300 or 400 students, make small artworks. So things that are, I think they are like 12 inches square or less. It's kind of, that's their dimension. And then parents and families buy tickets to the event. And if you buy a ticket, you can get one of the pieces of artwork. And what they do is they have these like bingo cards. So it's, what's that? Five. So it's 25 spots. And so you go around and you write down 25 of pieces that you like. And then you have, they call out names. So everyone who's purchased a ticket gets their name thrown into a big, whatever bucket. And then you pull out the names one by one, everyone who's got one, and you get to choose one of the pieces of artwork. Which is fine, and it works fine, and it's, you know, and they have it pretty well organized, and there were probably 300 or 400 people there.
It's a little white elephant-ish feeling.
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, except for, like, you know, you don't get to steal someone else's. Like, it's right, just a lottery. Yeah.
There's a... I don't know what happened to you in the event, but right. To that is a little, like, oh, that one's obviously good.
Right.
That one's obviously good. Like, everyone has, you know, so then there's some
right.
that for whatever reason, you know, maybe weren't picked or liked or were right. so different that, so there's a, I mean, but hey, you know, it's a.
Yeah, it's a fundraiser for the school. You
yeah,
know?
These yeah. days with kids, I guess it's all right that maybe they get a little, hey, your
yeah, a little
picture
humble.
Wasn't,
yeah,
most,
right.
wasn't picked.
Yeah. So, yeah, so like Corinne had a piece in, and hers, she actually did, she took a photograph from inside of the silo, like the grain silo on our property. Mm-hmm. So it's like an old silo, so it's all old wood and like mm-hmm. cracks and holes, and there's openings at the top. So she took a photograph from the bottom of that looking straight up, and then she did a watercolor based off of the photograph. Mm. And so we had, you know, we had our 25, and then we probably had like another 25 or so numbers that we kind of chose. And, the event started at 6, probably about 6:30. They started calling names and I left at 8:30 when we hadn't been called yet. and by that point we actually still had quite a few pieces, that were, you know, choices that we liked. So it was like, you know, it actually, it was kind of surprising, you know, our top 25 were not the first 25 that were chosen, you know, like maybe not even the first like 35. So like everyone had, you know, there's a wide range of people's, choices and all. And, so I actually got back and then Nicole texted me recently, just at about 9:10 or something, and she said finally, and so I guess they called her name finally, and she said at that point the majority of the ones that we had chosen, we still had some on our list that we would have chosen, but no one had chosen Corinne's up to that point, and so yeah. she got Corinne's because it's like something that we know and we've been here on this property for 12 years,
yeah,
and we're moving next weekend. So she was like, you know, I felt like I wanted, it's like a good, like, it's like the history of this property. It has some meaning to us.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a really nice piece. And actually it was one of the better ones that I thought, like, it's a little bit more abstract, but you know, it's kind of an interesting, like really nice. She did some nice variations in the color of like old wood, like the grays and blacks and browns and some greens. And then there was some like yellow from where light was coming in and stuff. And nice. So it was a really nice watercolor, but it hadn't been chosen. So Nicole said she got that one. So, but it was like, so they, you had, there was a couple people up on stage, and then they had hanging behind the stage was this like big, drape piece of like felt fabric or whatever. And it had, 500 or 600, like rows of 20 or something. And then columns, you know, like then like whatever, 30 or 40 columns. So all the numbers were there. And then there were two students on like ladders and step stools putting like Velcro squares over top of the squares that had been chosen, you know, so the numbers mm-hmm. that had been chosen. So you mm-hmm. got that. So the guy would call out a name. Someone in the crowd would be like, me. And they'd either call out their number that they wanted, or they had a bunch of runner students who had these like 5-foot tall like paddles basically with their name on it. So they would like go over and the person would say the one they want, they'd call it out. And then the runner, the student runner would give their paddle to the person and then the runner would go and get the artwork and come back and give it to them. Right. And then trade it back. So that was like happening. And then they're calling names and every once in a while they would like stop and they'd go over the numbers again, just like call them out so people could cross them off. And then, because it was a bingo card, you could also get, two types of bingo, either an X or a diamond in the middle of your board. So if you got like, you know, if you're there waiting and your stuff had gotten crossed off in that bingo shape, then you could win an award. You know, it's like kind of a consolation prize for people who had a lot of their stuff like crossed off before they could choose.
Right.
So
just a inefficient way to do it, even though it's.
Yeah. And I think it was like, everyone was having fun, you know, like the students were having fun and they're all hanging out and running around and all like everyone's there with their friends and their families. And, you know, there was like 500 or 600 people in this front auditorium area of Corinne's school.
But it is, it's still a school night, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like 9:30.
I know, right? Yeah. Fortunately, it's high school, but, you know, but still. Yeah. I know parents like Nicole, you know, we both had stuff to do. That's why when you texted me, you're like, can we do it at 8:30? I was like, maybe 9. I was like, I'm still here. I was like, unless, you know, I forget when that was. I was like, you know, 7:15 or something you texted. And I was like, well, if we're done by 8 o'clock, then yeah. So I think I left it about, you know, 8:25 or so to come home. But yeah, it was good. There was a lot of fun. There was a lot of really good work and a lot of fun work. You know, like I said, we had out of the 500, we had 50 or 60 pieces that we would have been happy with. You know, that.
Yeah.
And other ones, like there were other ones that we would have been happy with too, but not ones that we, you know, chose right off the bat.
Yeah. I think it's good and bad that you took
Corinne's
because there definitely could have been a lot of people who wanted it, but it's such a slow process that, you know, like you said, you pick 50.
Yeah.
And like they could have been plenty happy with it, just didn't.
Right.
But you know, it is something you wanted and it's kind of, you're ready to go anyway. Like, all right, you're off the board. Let's go.
Right. And it's one of those. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just you gotta do it. By that point, we're like, oh, come on. Like, you know, we're like, cause you have your first like 25, you're like, okay, cool. And then those like start whittling away. And then at one point, Nicole like walked back toward the gallery and went back and wrote down a bunch more numbers and came back and like we wrote all those down because like the first, you know, ones were getting whittled away. And then at one point I went and walked around and got some more numbers and but yeah, you know, it was not a very efficient way to do it, but it's definitely something that they've done it every year for a bunch of years. It's a tradition and I think it was fun, you know. It's cool.
It's a tradition.
Yeah. And so like, I think it'll be fun for Corinne to, you know, do something again next year that she's really proud of and you know, put it up. So
yeah, it's definitely a cool thing. We never had anything like that in high school.
Yeah, right.
It was like your thing. If you're kind of lucky, it would get shown.
Right.
In like in one of those glass things in the hallway.
Yeah, right.
Or it would like sit next to the library for 2 months. And then you'd take it home. There's a funny one. I made a in ceramics I made a vase, right?
Yes.
But when I made it, it looks exactly like a bong. And I don't know how much I guess I hadn't really been around bongs that much. I mean, it was like 10th grade.
Right.
I mean, I never used them. And
yeah, right.
And I just, it wasn't in my head as a thing. And I was, you know, you're like, they're teaching about the angles and stuff of pottery and how, but I was like, okay, I want to go straight out and then straight back in and then a real long top. Like, I just thought that was something different, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's just a bong, dude. And even the top is like flared. Because I was like, I'll flare it out again. Like, this is an interesting shape. And it's like this weird color. You know, I picked whatever was cool in the book. Like, blue with random color, you know, like chips.
Yeah.
So I said, this very... And my mom had it for years.
You remember? She did love it. Yeah.
But it was like, I didn't even think about it until later. I was, dang,
you just drill a hole in the side at the bottom. You'd be good to go.
Drew's like, yeah, man. But
Drew's, can I borrow that vase for a little bit?
Yeah, that's one I always remember. But I mean, I took every art class. I loved it.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, you sure you don't want another math? I'm like, just give me. Listen, lady.
Yeah.
Can I'm I good. Graduate? All right. Throw in a gym or an art.
Yeah, right. Let's move the weight trainings in there.
Let's move the senior year along.
Yeah, right. It was fun. It was a cool thing, and you know, it was $40 a ticket, so like you get a piece of artwork for $40, you know, which is cool. Like you come away with it, and it's like, you know, Nicole and I both went, and Corinne was there. We didn't have to buy 3 tickets to do the event. And it was just, we bought a ticket to, you know, ticket or whatever, like a raffle ticket spot, basically.
Yeah, that's cool.
But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, at $40 a pop, and they're selling however many it was, you know, like so 400, 500. Like, they make a decent amount for the school. Yeah. Not enough, apparently, though, because, like, Corinne's going to the Baltimore Museum of Art soon or whatever, and that's a free museum, and we still have to pay $15 per student to help for the buses. Like, come on. Like, get out of here.
Yeah. How much you got to tip the driver?
I know, right? Yeah. You have to pay, like, for the buses, like, come on, isn't that part of your budget? Like, bus, you know, how many times I've charged my students at BDS bus fare?
Zero. Well, your school is a little bit fancier, even though
it's not.
So, is no. I was gonna, yeah, you're right, actually.
No, Carver's, yeah, just fancies us. The difference is it's Baltimore County as opposed to Baltimore City. The city and everyone just assumes that students aren't going to have the funds to pay for stuff. And so we just budget it all in. You know, it's like we don't ask our students to pay for anything. They're just, we just assume that's what we'll pay for them.
Well, you know, I mean, occasionally. Maybe we should pay our $15 on the bus fare. All right, Dustin.
Maybe we should. Yeah. No, I mean, like, you know, like prom, they have to pay for prom, and there's other stuff they have to pay for.
Yeah, I remember stuff being very expensive. I remember mom and dad never going, okay, it was always like, what?
I know,
what are we
right?
paying for? How much?
$500 for a school ring? No, thank you.
Yeah, okay. You're lucky if you get pictures this year or a yearbook. What grade are you? 10th grade? You don't need a yearbook.
$90 yearbook? No.
Yeah, right. It's crazy.
It's either like really expensive or nothing. Like, really? Or any like the big school trips, you know, like we're going to go to Hawaii, but you have to pay $4,000. Sure. Like, sure. What?
Yeah, and you get all excited during the presentation. Yeah. Like, hey, mom, dad, they're going to Ireland next year. And then you got to break it to them that they want $2,500.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And they're like, did you not hear us complaining about the $40 field trip last year? What do you think we're going to shell out $2,500?
Yeah, right. So you better start mowing a lot of lawns.
Yeah. Free little animals to try to go drink in Ireland. Get out of here. I'm 18 almost.
Yeah. But, it was an event. It was interesting. It was fun. Yeah. You know, the kids, like I said, the high schoolers and stuff, they could tell they were all having fun. All the ones who were volunteering and all the ones that are there with the parents, they're all
It's cool to get in there, though, you know, for some school activities. And
Yeah. Right.
You guys are sussing it out.
Yeah, right. Exactly. We're all snobby, you know, because we're artists. So we're like, oh, man. I'm like, how did everyone, like, how have 25 people already chosen, and none of the ones we think are the best have been chosen yet? Like, amateur hour up in here. All these people have no taste.
That's trash.
Yeah, right. Although I wonder, like, you know, because it is an art magnet school, I wonder how many parents are artists. Yeah, it's like, it does, that's one of those things that does run in the family sometimes, you know, because, like, you know, Corinne, in like with other parents, may not have been as artistically inclined just because she wasn't around it all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, like, and she was around all the time, and I like, you know, constantly taught her things and talked to her about it and taught, you know, showed her things, how to draw and how to see and how to learn and paint, and, you know,
there's such an advantage. That's another reason why you have so many people who played sports have their kids do it,
because
the kids grow up with it. It's not, right, you know, exactly. The people who haven't had any teachings, and then they go, oh, I'd like to learn that skill. And they come into class and every word is new.
Mm. Yeah.
The kid who's done it all their life or just have gotten, oh, let's do this. Like I say, my thing was, like when I went to film school.
Right.
What we did for fun was make movies.
Mm-hmm.
And right, exactly. And go shoot movies and, hey, get my friends and you guys and brothers. Yeah. And I want to shoot a scene. And I was learning constantly and, like, copying movies. Like,
yeah,
oh, this is how they shot this scene. We'll do it exactly like that. I didn't know necessarily every why things were done. I just had a lot of experience doing it.
Right.
So when I came in, it wasn't like, oh, this is the first time. It's like you're already used to it. So
yeah.
You have a huge leg up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I wish, like, not that I don't think it would have changed my trajectory, but having, like, you know, parents who pushed us, like, I mean, I don't think our parents pushed us, like, to do really well. You know, they were very supportive of whatever we wanted to do, but I don't think that they, like, you know, if they would have, like, really wanted to push me into art, you know, like, because I loved art, they may have suggested, like, oh, why don't you look into Carver, which is an art magnet school. Mm-hmm. You know, because we grew up in Baltimore County, I could have gone to Carver, you know, but it wasn't, like, on their radar, because they just, right, they weren't artists, you know. And not that they weren't trying to push us to do the things that we love to do, but it was just, like, not something that was on their radar, you know. I took all the art classes, same thing you did. We took lots of art classes because we were creative people. Right. You know, we wanted to do things, but I definitely know that, like, the people, when I went to MICA, the students who came to MICA who came from art magnet schools had, like, these crazy portfolios with, like, giant paintings and, you know, like, right, huge charcoal drawings and like 50 self-portraits. And I'm like, what the heck? Like, who are you? Like, you know, I've got the stuff that I thought was really good. And, like, I've always been naturally talented at, like, drawing from observation and seeing it. Like, so I had good stuff, but it wasn't, like, the breadth of, you know, portfolio that some of these other students who had that leg up being in a program that's, like, pushing them to be better, you know, so. But I also, like, I don't know, like, I wasn't asking when I was in middle school, like, I knew I wanted to be an artist, but it wasn't, like, I wasn't going out of my way to try to find a school that could, you know, make me a better artist.
I remember when magnet schools and things, hearing about them.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of not understanding, you know, there wasn't, our parents, they didn't push us in anything,
right,
which isn't good and bad. There wasn't that pressure,
right? Yeah, exactly.
There was maybe, I mean, they wanted me to continue learning, like taking trumpet lessons and, you know, things like that, but it was never like, you need to get all A's, you need to do this, like, what are you here, let's get you into these classes, let's get this, like, it wasn't like that,
right.
So yeah. Hearing about things like, oh yeah, I'm going over this whatever school. What was the one next to Westminster? There was that whole...
Eastern.
No. There was a...
Oh, next to Westminster.
Vocational high school. You know, like, it was a
whole thing. VoTech. The VoTech school, yeah.
And I just didn't know about it, you know? It's just that everyone's going to these cool classes.
Yeah.
Like, wait, you can work on cars? Like, why are you going over there to work on cars?
I'm
here doing, like, this, you know, stuff, learning nothing. Yeah. But anyway, it's good and bad. I'm glad there was not that type of pressure. And there was also I think there was definitely a value on, you're a kid, go outside and play, have fun.
Right.
Go hang out with your friends. You want to go see your friends? I'll take you and your friends somewhere. Which was kind of, that's definitely a priceless thing that some people don't get. Some people are pressured to constantly do things and fill their schedule. But ours was, hey, we're going to go outside. Let's go hang out with someone and do something.
Yeah.
Make fun.
Yeah. Right, exactly. You know, like, let your kids be kids. And, like, you know, that's why, like, we try to make sure Corinne is doing the best she can do. And she's not, like, you know, like, not getting bad grades because she's not doing stuff. You know, like, not turning in work. Like, we'll stay on her to make sure she's not, you know, because she's our daughter. So she's very laid back and very, like, oh, come home and, like, hang out and talk. Let's chat and let's draw and let's read some books. Like, wait, you have any homework? Oh, maybe. And we, like, look at her homework and, like, you missed 5 homework. She's like, oh, sorry. You know, like, she's just not thinking about it. It's not in her mind. And it's not in our mind either, you know. So we have to, like, try to be more vigilant. But, you know, exactly, we're not trying to push her. She doesn't have to get all straight A's, you know, like, she's got to pass. You know, as long as you pass, like, that's fine. You know, she doesn't want to be a neuro, you know, scientist when she's in college, you know, so, like, she has her goals, and as long as we're helping her, you do that. And, you know, she loves art and she wants to do some type of art profession, she thinks, or science or something. She's not exactly sure, but she likes a few different things. So,
yeah.
Well, you know, and she doesn't really have to know, like, at this point. Yeah, you know, it's like, if you kind of have an idea what you want to do, that's cool. But if not, like, that's cool, too. You got a long, long life to live, you know. You can literally, like, graduate high school and just work for a couple of years and then decide. You know, like, whatever. You know, it's like, live your life. Yeah, so.
All right, so before we get into business about doing the spear video and moving, I want to do a little something I call stealing ideas from other podcasts. Okay. Now, I wanted to, now, I have you heard of the Are You Garbage podcast?
You told me about it.
Did I tell you about it?
Yeah, yes. I think you recommended it on the podcast.
Did I? Okay. Yeah. Really funny. I mean, they have a lot of comedians, but they're funny, and they ask these questions. So I wanted to ask you a few, even though I know the answers because it's our family. Okay. But they're funny. Then these are kind of ones they bring up. Like, format is of the show is they'll get your general, like, what you grow up, where'd you go, where'd you guys eat, like, what'd you have in the house, it's all that type. It's all fun because the two guys are quote unquote garbage,
right?
You know, so they want to know, like, these things, like. So I'm going to ask you them like I don't know, and then we kind of discuss them. Just do it for like 5 minutes.
All right.
Did your family ever use Miracle Whip?
No.
No, not really. No, we were
a Mayo. Miracle Whip family. I mean, we always had mayo around, but it wasn't Miracle Whip. It was always just like regular mayo, which I think is like, you know, after, I think Miracle Whip is sweet. It's like much sweeter than regular mayonnaise, so.
Yeah. You ever own a Scarface poster?
No, I don't think we did.
No, what's the trashiest poster you can think of?
Maybe like.
Did you have you had the Belushi College? Did you have that?
No, I might have had the college poster. I might have had that when I was at Micah.
Right.
Yeah, the the college shirt. Yeah. I think I had, I'm trying to think of like what the posters were, you know, it was like the real, like the marijuana posters, you know, the one with like marijuana leaves all over it. Mm-hmm. It was like, you know, like in crazy colors that you could like use a black light on. Mm-hmm. Like, those are pretty trashy.
You ever taken furniture from the trash?
Oh, I mean, I literally just did that like 2 weeks ago.
He's still doing it.
Yeah, right.
Where'd you get the trash furniture?
It's good trash furniture. There's a limit to what you can take. It can't be like fabric. You know, you don't pull fabric. Fabrics
are tough, especially, man. I did it in New York, but we weren't happy about it.
Yeah, right.
It was definitely like, a roll.
Yeah, if it's like if it's leather, you know, you'd probably be okay because it doesn't like take stains, you know. But like, like a couch or a chair, or things like that, like yeah, you don't want to take the fabric. Like, nah.
What'd you take?
Wood, you know. There was a chair. So actually, it wasn't really trash. It was destined to be trash, but the on the property here, because the reason why we're moving is the property's being sold, the woman who was basically in charge of overseeing the cleaning out of the outbuildings, we were talking to her, and we had talked to Betty before she passed away a couple times about like some of the stuff, and she was like, yeah, if there's something you want to help me clean out, or there's wood here, blah 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 blah. So there were a couple outbuildings on this property that had stuff in it that Betty and her husband had been collecting for years, so Nicole and I asked about checking in on those things to see if we could take anything. And the woman who's in charge said that the family, of Betty, like Betty and Bill, their family had already come through and had already taken everything they wanted. And so everything that was left was stuff that was basically just going to go into dumpsters and be taken away, which is sad because there was a lot of collectible stuff. So Nicole and I, went up and we're kind of, there was a dumpster outside one of the outbuildings. So we were going through the outbuilding. We found some stuff. Like we found these cool, like, I forget what they were called, like, emerald glass or something. These cool, like blue green emerald, lamp shade and stuff. And then we found Harry Bertoia. I think his name is Harry Bertoia. He's a designer and he designed chairs specifically. And there's this like line of, chairs called Bertoia chairs. And so there was one, which is the Bertoia bird chair, which is kind of if you imagine a grid of, like metal wires that crisscross in a grid that are maybe an inch to an inch and a half square grids, and they make up these like organic forms of chairs and seats and stuff, kind of like if you imagine a papasan, but in like a metal grid, you know? So like Papasan. Kind of, yeah, Papasan chair, like that circle chair with the big circle, like a dome cushion, you know, that one of those guys.
Yeah.
But it's like all made out of metal. So and not that big and not a half dome, but like kind of more like that organic shape.
That's
so.
The least trashy dumpster diving I've ever heard.
I know, right? We got a Pretoia chair, which is probably actually worth maybe like $2,000. So.
Is there still stuff there?
No, it's mostly gone now. There's a dumpster up here, but
I'm going to do a little dive myself.
I know. Well, that's the thing. We went in and we like pulled out a bunch of stuff. I got a bunch of scrap kind of exotic woods and stuff because Betty was a furniture, I mean a jewelry designer. So she did a lot of stuff with metal and wood and leather and things. So some nice little scrap woods and stuff. And then we got the vases and a couple of random little things, but yeah, but there was also like a bunch of their artwork, Betty and Bill. I mean, they had like Betty has artwork in the BMA, the Baltimore Museum of Art. You know, like she's like they are not, you know, they're like designers of note in Baltimore. So I snagged a couple of the watercolor paintings before they got tossed into the dumpster. But I was like, you know, what can you do? Some of his paintings were there, some of her paintings and artwork and things they've collected and. Yeah, we did grab the chair. We were like, oh, that's pretty sweet. And I knew it was a designer chair. So we grabbed it, and it was pretty dirty. Okay. Nicole cleaned it up, and it'll live in our new house.
Right on.
So, yeah, there you go. It's like, yeah, like I said, that's
not very trashy. But I've definitely taken stuff. A lot of that was in New York, because stuff would always be sitting out, and we were poor, so we just...
Yeah. I feel like that's just part of the culture of New York, though. You know, like,
kind of go, oh, that's sweet, and let's bring it up to the apartment. And,
Or
we would, like, make stuff out, like, make a bar, you know? Like, there was a couple of bookshelves, and we made a bar out of it. You know, stuff just fun.
Yeah, right.
Nice. this one I don't understand, but
okay.
Do you ever brush your teeth in the shower?
Oh, no.
I know. Who does that?
Weird. I mean, apparently, I'm a Kramer.
Apparently people brush their teeth in the shower.
Huh. I mean, how efficient do you need to be?
I know. It takes a minute outside of the shower. And
I wonder.
And if you're wasting time in there, in the shower,
yeah,
brushing your teeth, you shouldn't. Either way, you're going to spend the minute. So what does it matter if you're in a shower, you know, having mint pour down your body?
Yeah, right.
And how do you rinse out your mouth? Are you just gargling shower
water? Gargle shower water? Yeah, hot shower water?
Yeah, that's trash. Trash.
No,
that's
trash. No, I've never brushed my teeth in the shower.
Your mom ever cut your hair?
Oh, not our mom, but grandmother.
My mom, she cut my hair.
My mom, yeah. Sometimes at the the not too happiness of our mother,
my mom would decide and
time for haircuts.
We get a tight buzz cut, which is a surprise we all end up having now. We're just except for me, my hair's grown out. I gotta cut it. you ever own a paintball gun?
Yes, I did.
You did?
I had a paintball gun.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, until recently, actually, I got rid of it. It was like in an old like banana box from some move at some time. Yeah, I had the paintball gun and the mask and everything. It was great, man. I love paintball. Kurt and I played paintball recently when we went for our nephew Gabriel's.
Was it
13th birthday? Maybe I guess I was probably 13. It was awesome. Yep.
Yeah.
And Kryn was a kick ass, man. She was so much fun. She was loving it. She'd run around all badass, shooting people. It was great. Shot me.
let's see. Last one. I'll try to pick one. ever ski in jeans?
Oh, I don't know. Probably not.
I don't know. Maybe. Yeah, we usually had snow wear, but maybe.
Yeah, we may have, though.
I mean, we definitely went sledding in.
Oh yeah.
I mean, a question could be: you ever use you ever use garbage bags for like waterproofing a shoe?
Oh, inside outside boots. The snow. Yeah, definitely do that.
We did that many. There was always
plastic
grocery bags sticking out of our
your tennis shoes to cut the snow.
Kept those babies dry though.
Yeah, right. Cold and dry.
But yeah, that's kind of what the show is funny. But they're nice. Really great about going into stuff and. And they're funny because they'll go into detail about all that stuff.
Nice. Right on.
Like what you order in Applebee's? Like, what, you know, it's all that, those type of questions. This comes, did you have milk with dinner, like, as a kid? Like, all that. For sure, that was us. All right. That's great. So, we can talk about the Spear video. You're in the throes of moving.
Oh, yeah,
or preparing for moving.
Yeah, preparing. Yeah.
Which is a battle, a daily battle. I know.
Oh, man, I understand. It is. It's just like, there's just so much accumulation of stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, our house is not that big, but
you guys pack it in, though. You guys pack it in.
I have not even started in the shop. Like, that's the biggest thing. But yeah, like, and the thing is, like, you know, when you live in a place, like, we lived here for 12 years, I think. You know, you slowly acquire things, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and you don't at the same pace get rid of things. So, you know, it's like, I don't need 2 whole bookshelves full of art books, but you know, when I bought that one art book 3 years ago, that was a cool art book, and added it to the collection, you know, and then a couple months after that, I found another cool art book at, like, a flea market, you know, mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. you know, so, like, an accumulation of years, you just start, like, adding more and more and more, and then, you know, like I say, you don't get rid of it at the same speed, because you don't need to. There's no, you know, it's like, you have the space in the house for it, so you just put it in. So, yeah, we have, like, I'm sitting here in the studio, and this is going to take some time. Like, fortunately, we actually did a quote-unquote spring cleaning last winter when we rearranged it. So we did get rid of a lot of stuff and rearranged. So this is, you know, this room won't be too hard to break down and pack. But
I love a good dump run when you're cleaning stuff up.
Yeah, man.
I feel so good to toss that stuff over the edge.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've got a few more to do. Just clean out the office. And
right.
But that was, you know, simple compared to what you guys got to do. So you got it...
Yeah, so last time when we talked 2 weeks ago, we were like right in the mix of it. We had just put in the offer and we got accepted, but it hadn't been, we hadn't done the inspection yet. So that inspection went through and was fine. There were a couple of things that were found that we'll need to fix, but nothing that was, you know, more than, you know, a couple thousand dollars maybe, you know, like, so. Yeah. It's all good and very excited to be moving in. We tried to get the sellers and the, you know, the seller's agent to allow us to move things into the garage before the before the date, but they
no go. Have it.
Nah, no. No, they were, you know, with liability and stuff, and they're like, no.
Well, we better clean that tree up then.
I know, right?
Well, yeah. Come on. You're not being nice, then fine.
You better get somebody out here to cut this sucker up. No, yeah, but yeah. So, but we are, you know, we are going to be moving fence posts and stuff over to the property this weekend because, you know, I can't leave them somewhere on my property. I'm not moving them twice. So,
yeah.
We're picking them up, we're taking them, we're putting them down. What are they going to do? Like, burn them, you know, throw them away? No, sorry.
Yeah, they don't want to move the tree.
Yeah, exactly. We're just going to be packing.
None of that stuff is liable stuff. It's like, whatever. Right. Like, if that disappears or breaks, it's all
right. Right. And we're not putting it inside. We're putting it outside. We're going to put it back. We'll just put it behind the garage and it'll just be there. It'll be ready for it. So, but.
Yeah, I can't, man. You got me on both Saturdays with lacrosses. This time of year, it's every Saturday is a lacrosse game.
Right, okay.
So, you know, but I can help either the Sunday after or, you know, maybe during the week one day. Okay. I'm sure there'll be multiple trips. I'll definitely help. I'm sure your shop will be a beast.
Yeah, the big day is going to be Saturday. Obviously, we'll try to do most of the moving on Saturday, and then we'll see. But... My buddy Andrew has a trailer, so that we'll use that to move all the fencing. So speaking of fencing, we're getting free fencing from a person locally that has fences on their property that they don't need, and they basically just put up like, these are free, come and take them, you know, and they're just like, you know, actively being like.
Right,
yeah, actual fences around. Right. It's not like there's like.
I think we talked a little bit about that last week.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so the guy did already have like piles of them kind of on the side. So there's a bunch. There are some, and then I went
You went back.
I went on Saturday and spent a couple hours just pulling fence boards off.
You're like, don't get rid of my pile.
Yeah. So everything that I knew for sure was fencing that I was going to be taking, that I could take, I pulled the boards off of the fencing.
Nice.
So really everything's basically ready to go. All it is we just have to stack them all onto the trailer, and then the fence posts, the guy has a tractor that we'll just walk around and we'll just pull them, you know. Yeah. So it'll be like kind of a group job. We'll just be hanging out, we'll pull fence posts, stack them up, I'll get as many as I need, and then we'll take them over.
You did and
unload them onto the property.
You did a really funny thing in the text chain asking for help.
Okay.
Because I don't even know if the guys know you're moving yet, do they?
Our brothers?
Yeah.
Yeah, remember that? Remember when I sent the text out to everybody?
Right.
When
okay, we had so they the, knew, yeah. but they didn't know yeah. when.
When, exactly.
I think only yeah. I really knew, like, you guys were, you had closed and it was doing this, and you were like, you're
right. Well, I'd originally said, away. Like, the 28th is in the, yeah.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Like, but I'd said the 28th, the end of the month.
And in the chain was like, hey, are you guys available? And a lot of, yeah, it's like, oh, yeah, and moving the weekend after.
Yeah.
You hit them twice.
I was like, and the next on Saturday. Like,
dang, yeah, got two weekends in a row. But like yeah, I said, man. I can't do those because both they're all day games. They're like 12 o'clock games right in the middle. But
you.
if it's after, I know you'll need more.
Yeah, we'll see.
or if I don't think someone's if anyone needs my truck. If you just right. need an extra truck, like if Derek wants to drive it or something, you guys can have another full size truck to throw whatever in.
Yeah, we may do that. Maybe on that day or something, you can come down and, you know, you can take our car or something, and then Nicole can drive the truck, or I can drive your truck, or probably Nicole.
Yeah.
You know, if we just need
or someone need can a come truck, get it. Back and forth. It depends.
Yeah. Right.
If someone wants to come up and grab it, or maybe mom and dad come down or something.
Yeah, and that's what Dad said. Like, they said that, you know, they have their pickup truck as well, so they're happy to lend it, you know, if Derek wants to go back and forth
maybe,
or whatever.
Maybe Mom can, like, if they drive the pickup truck down.
Yeah, she can stop by and pick up yours.
Yeah.
That would be good, yeah. Because, like, you know, the combination of my truck and Sean's truck and Drew's truck and then... You know, yours dad's, you know, so
and
like Drew's we'll have plenty
Sean's
of pickups.
Little trucks.
Yeah, right. And then, you know, and then Andrew's trailer too. That he said, I think it's a 16-foot trailer. So,
but let me double check because I think, yeah, I'll probably just use Caitlin's
right
vehicle. Or like you said, maybe I'll just come down and grab yours if really need be. But you'll probably load that up too. So I'll double check. But you know, try to make it so you can have another.
Yeah, that'd be good. You know, because obviously there's just the big stuff that'll have to go in. And, you know, it's always that way. It's like moving is you either buy a big or you rent a big truck or you just have a bunch of small trucks. You know, like, yeah. So fortunately we have a bunch of small trucks or a bunch of normal trucks, you know, pickup trucks that should be able to move plenty of stuff.
It's amazing how much crap. Stuff, you know, like you said, just the apartment with... my wife and I, we both, we had so much stuff that we even had a big, big box truck along with all of our trucks, but luckily it was a one tripper, which was nice.
Yeah. Yeah. That is good. And having the trailer, I think will help, you know, that'll help us be able to get a lot of the stuff. Cause I mean, like maybe we, you know, put the big stuff in the trailer, you know, like, you know, couches and tables and stuff and dressers, and then we put all boxes and stuff into the trucks. You know, I think we'll probably be able to make it in one big run, and like if it's gonna be more than two runs, then I'll just do it myself over like the next week or so. You know, but
yeah, just get the last little bits.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I think, you know, the shop is gonna take some doing just because it's some heavy stuff, you know, and awkward just getting it up out of the shop. That's gonna be a little bit annoying. But you know, it'll be all the tools and stuff will just be in boxes. I'm just throwing everything in and just moving it all. You know. I mean, you know, obviously like moving some of the stuff like the tables and things that are down in my shop, you know, the workbenches, like those will take some doing to get them out and and the cabinetry and things like that. But all those things will be empty. So
I'll just say have as much stuff in boxes as you can.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
That's always good. And I've always half hit that mark and half not when I've moved.
Yeah, right.
You get a lot, but then eventually there's still like a room's worth of stuff. You're like, yeah. I don't know, just stuff it in there, like throw it in there.
Yeah.
Just, where do you want this?
I don't care. Just move it.
Get the hell
just
out of here.
The new place.
It's when we went, it's funny with our old landlord. I don't think he'd ever listen to this, so I won't say who it is. It's not defaming him, but he was a little raggedy. We're like, yeah, he's got these shorts. He comes around and does stuff. He's got these old underwear that, like, tidy whities that hang out of the bottom of the shorts. And remember, do you remember he came in towards the end when we were, like, getting out of there, and everyone was like, like, oh my God, it's true. Like, he had his weird, like, tidy whities somehow hanging down below his shorts, and he's kind of stinky. And also, on our way out, he's like, and it was, I think we moved right before spring.
All right.
It's probably around this time. You know, it's like, March or something.
Right.
And he's like, hey, are you going to put the screens in? Because we had a sunroom and the rest of it. So there was like, you know,
right,
20 windows.
Yeah, right.
And we would do them. We would do them because we'd open it up during the spring.
Yeah, right, right.
I was like, no, we're leaving. We're not putting the screens. And he's like, okay. Like, what are you doing? We're out of here. No, I'm not doing one last thing.
Yeah, right. Do you want to put the screens in? No, thank you.
No, I don't want to. It's, we don't
and I'll
need
take
it
my
to.
Safety deposit back. Thank
yeah,
you.
don't bullshit us with the safety deposit stuff.
Yeah, right.
We'll vacuum and do whatever else, but it's a lot less of a shithole than when we moved in, so don't even try it.
Yeah. I know. I actually said to Nicole recently, I was like, did we ever pay a safety deposit? Because it's been so long, and like, she was like, I don't know. And you know, our
you had
lease.
To, usually everyone, I mean, you can reach out.
Well, that's the thing. There's no one to reach out to. You know,
well,
Betty and Bill are dead. And that's like, you know, like.
No. But you would think there's.
Yeah, there should be. I don't know. But, you know, like. But we are also paying, like, such a cheap price for this that's place true. For so long. Mm-hmm. You know, we're paying $1,150, like $1,150 for a 3-bedroom house on 10 acres in the country. Yeah, you know, so we were just like, we rode that for a long time, you know, like at this point now we're paying $1,750, right? So it's gone up $600 or whatever, but, or $1,700, so $550. But,
yeah.
But, you know, for most of the time, probably the first 8 or 9 years or so, it was really low. The rent was low. So we always just like, we were just flying under the radar, you know, like we had our oven went up at one point, and we reached out to Betty a couple times about it. And we just went out and bought a new oven, you know, not a new, but like a used oven for $300 or $400. And we just like put it in, and we didn't ask her to, you know, to pay us back or anything. We're just like, oh, it's fine. You know, like there's just enough things here at this place that we knew we were getting a good deal. So
take what you can.
Yep.
You guys are the stewards of it. So.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Whatever is worth your time taking, just have it, because, you know, Mike is going to sell it to some McMansion people, and there's going to be, like, 5 McMansions where you're...
Yeah,
where this
well, that's actually one of the potential buyers is actually our neighbor's son. So our neighbor Dennis, his son Owen, has been really interested in buying, and he's kind of in real estate, and so... He was here recently last weekend with a person who's like, you know, a woman who helps him to like understand investments and stuff. And they were like, whatever partner, but he was here with his dad and her, and they were looking at the place, and he was like, yeah, I mean, this property can be divided into 3 and a developer will want to come out and just knock down everything on the property and put up 3 new houses.
Yep.
And he's like, I don't want that to happen because this is a beautiful property and there's beautiful old barns and stuff.
Good
so
for him.
Yeah. Right. And he was asking me about this house, like how much, you know, like how much, what does it need to like be livable? And I'm like, well, you know, it's livable, but like
we're living in it.
But. Yeah. But like, you know, it probably needs, there's probably roof, maybe a new roof and, you know, all new windows and there's some termite damage and stuff. So, but other, you know, that like, and there's some old electrical. So, you know,
like
there's,
people
it's like
aren't
the basics.
Buy, but, they're not going to buy all that land and live in your house.
Yeah. Right.
It's a nice small house for a renter and a small family. But if you have the money to buy 10 acres.
Yeah.
You're not living in that house.
Right. And it's going to be probably, you know, like I would say at least a million, maybe a million three, four, five, you know, like this is a,
oh, yeah,
a lot of,
yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, like what they should do is buy it and live in the barn house, which is Betty and Bill's house. Like that's a beautiful, like it's a modern, beautiful house. And like,
but they still have to put work in that too. Cause that's been not lived in for a while.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
But that'd be a a great place to live.
Yeah,
but
amazing. Yeah.
All right. So moving, I wanted to, before we're going to get to the end of the podcast, before we talk about the video,
the new video. Yeah.
Right. I wanted to get some general feelings from you about, cause we had a really good podcast last week with Mareko.
Yep.
How do you, does it feel weird to do a podcast with people like Mareko and DiResta and people that you've listened to a lot, like you like those are some of your mainstay podcasts, are those guys podcasts?
Right.
Is it weird to do a podcast with them? Like, how does it feel when you're chatting? I mean, I will say they both make it easy because they're both pros at being, you know.
Yeah, they've done a lot, like us. Keeping like it going. We've done a lot of podcasts. And
keep it rolling.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's, I don't know. I mean, I feel like, you know, we've been doing a podcast for so long. We've had so many guests on, and we've had so many people that we know about but haven't talked to, you know, so we have to, like, fill up. You know, it's kind of a strange thing just to talk to someone who's kind of a stranger for an hour and a half, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's, I guess, maybe a little bit more like nervousness, you know, just like, just the fact that like, I know these people pretty well, through what they've done, you know? So there's a lot, like, it's like anytime someone's talking to someone famous, you know, you know, a lot more about them than they know about you, you know? So there's that angle. Right. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think because...
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Like, I think I would be, it would be a little weirder for me to interview somebody like a YouTube person, right? Because, like, I know stuff about them from their videos. You know, like somebody like Andy Rawls, you know, we had him on. That was kind of cool, you know, but like, I don't know a ton about him, you know, but like Mareko and Jimmy, because they have a podcast, like they seem like normal people. Cause I hear them talking in normal conversations all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, but it is definitely an interesting, dynamic, you know, to so like,
There's a little bit of, obviously nervousness because
right. it's
someone who is like, yeah, a big name.
Yeah.
But then there is also, you're kind of comfortable with them because you've listened to them talk so much. You kind of know their flow already. It's like a buddy, but a very one-sided buddy.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Which a lot of people like I've listened to bring up, even like huge names or like it was the Tested podcast and like Joe Rogan. He's like, these people come up to me, I can't be annoyed because they know everything about me.
Right,
exactly. They know who I am. Like, I'm their friend, but it's totally one-sided.
Because
they've heard that person talk for 1,000 hours.
Right.
And you know their feelings on everything.
Yeah.
And then podcast with someone they, you know, you don't. But it's, I just wanted to get your feelings on it.
No, yeah, I mean, I also think, like, because we're in similar circles, you know, that's also makes it a little easier. You know, it's like the connection to Maker Camp, you know, with Jimmy, like, obviously with Maker Camp, you know, and then Mareko, I've actually had, like, quite a few conversations at Maker Camp with him.
Yeah, right, and I've met him in person, too, and had a little...
Yeah, so, like, yeah, so it's...
there's some of that, yeah.
Yeah. But there's definitely, I mean, they're definitely, you know, like I was saying to Mareko that, like, I heard about him the first time through Alex Steele's, you know, YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. And then listening to Knife Talk through Simple Little Life, Jeremy, his, you know, having like him talking about it on his YouTube channel, and then I was like, oh, Knife Talk, what's that? So I started listening to Knife Talk podcasts, and you know, and just like, I don't know how exactly what I how I heard about the Making It podcast, which is Jimmy, Dave, and Bob, but you know, it's like I had like at one point all these people were more celebrity in my mind, you know, but then because of Maker Camp and just because of being part of the community and us having a podcast and having a YouTube channel, you know, we just become more and more part of the community and they're less of a stranger, you know?
Yeah.
Because you have similar interests and similar experiences. You're like, oh, I was at that event. You were at that event. We both know this person. We both talked to this person, you know, like we both are like we're pretty like in the grand scheme of people in the community, we're like decent friends with like Chris Cash, right? He lives in Maryland. We've been to his place a couple times. Like we have good conversations with him, and like Chris knows Jimmy, Chris knows Mareko, you know, it's like, so, you know, it's like everyone kind of, you become more and more part of the community, whether you've actually talked to the person or not, but you have similar experiences and it makes them less of a stranger, I guess.
Yeah. It's a thing I don't struggle with, but I'm always pushing you to reach out to people to get them. But then I also have a little bit of a feeling of I don't want to intrude. Because if it's a big name, we're getting more out of it than they're getting out of it.
Right.
If our podcast was huge like theirs, then it would be an equal trade. But it's not an equal trade.
Right.
They're kind of doing something for us, and they don't know us. So there's a weird pressure where we're asking you to do something for us. And
right.
If you say no, we will be slightly irritated with you. Like, whether right. we want to admit it or not. Like, obviously, yeah. if it was someone, they're like, oh, no, I'm busy, we'd probably just go, okay. But there's a little bit of, like, they didn't want to be on our podcast.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but we expect if we ask someone, they're going
to
say
but yes. It's fair that they don't have to give us 2 hours of their time.
Right, yeah.
But
yeah.
So it's such... I feel bad a little sometimes asking these people.
Yeah.
But usually we ask people who know of us or have we've talked to or...
Yeah, like, or it's just
very
like,
few
you know,
where we've just randomly reached out to someone who we had no connection with. Right, even though we probably should just because it would be good.
Yeah, and we have. You know, we've definitely had some people in the podcast that, you know, was completely just like, hey, let's try to reach out to this person because we like this person. But, yeah, most of the time it's... And, you know, I also think... You know, we have this perspective of like the other person being like the famous person, right? But you know, just like there are people that look at our channel and it's like, oh shit, it's the Art of Craftsmanship, this YouTube channel. You know, like right. I've had people come to my house and get things and be like, this is so cool, we're in your shop, like this is amazing, I can't believe, you know, this is a YouTuber, like right. you know, but, so there's this level of like of fame that is assumed, but the majority of these people are all just normal people because we're all doing the same thing. It's all just home people doing YouTube. That was the beauty of YouTube and social media, is that like you can become famous and not be famous, quote unquote.
No, you're famous to like, you know, a couple hundred people.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Who right. really think you're hot shit. Yeah, it's right. a very interesting thing. You're right. And if they didn't want to, there has to be a nicer way to like refuse podcasts.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
It's probably just ignore the message. I don't know. And
it's funny because what we reached out to Buck and Billy Ray a couple years ago, you know, and he was like, oh, it sounds cool, you know, like send me a link or whatever and I'll check it out. Like, you know, he didn't commit right away, but we also were, it was kind of like half question, you know, but then after that, like there, I'd pop on to like his live streams and stuff occasionally.
Did you reach out again?
I haven't reached out again. You know, we can. Like, I'm sure he'd be on. Like, he seems like a cool dude to have on.
Well, I thought he didn't want to come on. See, now...
No.
I had a slight thing against him just because you didn't reach out to him.
Yeah, no, it wasn't him. It was just... Yeah, it was just... I think he, you know, he's a busy dude and he's, like, just super active. And
yeah,
I think
he does live stuff all the time. He could...
Yeah. I mean, I've heard him on one other podcast, so, like... But that was years ago. But I mean, he knows our channel. He knows me. Like, get him he's like, oh, the art of craftsmanship. Yeah, he's like, he asked me one time because he was doing something with, like, he was doing something with a handle, and I popped on a live stream, and he was like, oh, art of craftsmanship. He's like, you do a lot of woodwork. He's like, what do you think? If I peg this, is this stronger or is it, like, weaker, you know, with pegs and glue if this crack? And yeah, so I, like, typed in my, you know, comments. He was like, oh, okay, right on. You know, so, like.
Well, there you know. You go. We just need, some more people and reach out. But anyway, okay, so. Spear video is done.
Yeah, it was an easy one. And that was, you know, probably the last video we'll do other than like a goodbye. Wrap up. Yeah. That was cool. Like, I wanted to do that spear. Like, it's always funny. I have all these, you know, I'm always doing stuff. You know, there's always things I'm making and building and I'm always trying to prioritize like what has to be done sooner rather than later. And then what is just a fun build. If it's just a fun build, it can wait until we shoot it, you know, because I want to shoot it. You know, like, I want that to be content. If it's something that's a little bit more, you know, needs to be done sooner, then it's like, okay, do we have time to fit this in? Or is it something that I just want to just work on and get done so I can get it done for myself or whatever I need it for? So that was like the spearhead thing was just like, this is a spearhead. The friend of mine, you know, gave it to me to be able to basically clean up and give back to him. You know, it was just like part of being in the Wanderers group and the Viking reenactment group is that we have a lot of kind of internal economy, you know, where it'll be like, oh, can you do this thing for me? Sure. But like, then I can go to like Craig, who gave me the spearhead, is, you know, to fix up for the group, you know, for me or for whoever needs it. You know, it's like once it's in the group, it's just part of the group. He's like making a belt for me, you know, that's like has a specific, like, you know, so like, wait, North Seas thing. So there's a lot of like trade.
You get the spear and the belt for what? Or you're
well, the spear's not really mine.
It's like spear, a communal thing.
Yeah, like I'm sure like, because like, you know, we don't, it's not like we all walk around with spears the whole time, you know, it's not part of a costume. It'll be like leaning up in the corner.
Yeah, you actually don't, you really know, care like, who stores it. Like, yeah, keep it at your place.
Right. Exactly. That's more of like, oh yeah, you want to keep the spear? Yeah, sure.
The spear and the shield. No,
yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Cause we're not doing like battle reenactment.
Who can
so it's
fit
not
it
like,
in their van on the way home.
Exactly. Right. So he's like, hey, I have this spearhead that needs to be kind of cleaned up and fixed. And actually, so at the last event we were at, with the time, you know, accurate forge and stuff, I heated it up and I straightened it up and I was working on it while we were at the event. But it still needed to be ground and cleaned up and stuff. So I brought it home and did that last bit. And then I was, you know, he didn't ask me to put a spear shaft on it. He just asked me like, hey, this is a spearhead that I have that kind of needs some love. Like, can you do that? And so I was like, well, yeah, sure. And so then I was like, well, I'll make the shaft for it as well. Cause I think that's interesting and it's something that I can do. I have the shop to do it. Then started looking more into, putting, you know, spear shafts on, like trying to make it accurate to the time period. Cause everything we try to do is accurate to the time period, which is somewhere between the 800 and 1,000, you know, year. And so I was doing some research and I found the only currently existing spear shaft that's to that time period, because all the rest of the spear shafts from that time period would have rotted away in the last 1,000 years. But there was one that was found in the Lendbreen ice patch in Lendbreen, Norway. And so actually have like dimensions, and there are lots of spear heads, but not the wooden spear shafts. And there's a lot of information that we can gather based off of where a spear head and a butt cap would have been in a burial.
Right.
So like, you know, the spearhead's up near the top of the warrior's head, and then there's like a butt cap down near their feet. So they understand that there's a space between that. So you can kind of guess the length that a spear shaft would have been there before it rotted away in the ground, you know, 500 years ago. But this is the only one that was found, so it's kind of cool. So it's nice that it was, you know, some information that we could base the video off of and make that.
I get to do my first Google Earth Zoom.
Yeah, that was great. That looked really good. Yeah. And the images that you put in based, you know, from like of the spear, pieces of the spear shaft and stuff. Yeah. And yeah.
I'm just going to use them.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's just educational information, you know, people putting that information out. It's all, there are books out there that people can use.
Yeah.
But also like showing the little, the rivet, you know, that we made and how that's like had the bent piece and stuff. And that was cool. Like, cause I'm talking about it and then you show the picture of the actual one. I was like, oh, it's perfect.
Yeah.
You know, it shows like what we're talking about.
No, yeah. I think it turned out nice. I mean, like there wasn't much really going on in the video other than you whittling down a long piece of pine.
Yeah. Right.
But it was, I think you had some good information and there was, you know, you fit it nice and it turned out nice. It wasn't, that part wasn't that long.
Right.
It was like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
the other 10 minutes is you describing what you put on. And I just kind of chopped that up and through some of you putting it on and like it kept it moving nice the way, you know, I maybe cut out a third of what you said. So two thirds is in there, but it, you know, it's a lot of, it's all good stuff. And I didn't chop out anything that was necessary. I got, you know, and sometimes you, like anyone talking, you reiterate what you said towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and this and that, but a lot of times you just chop that up. That's a, you just clean it up that way.
You heard
it once, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it flowed nice. You got all the cool information about the outfit and stuff and
nice.
Yeah. All the stuff you wear, and then we did a wrap up. It was nice.
Yeah, I did, I was shooting that and like I made it 3/4 of the way through each of the pieces of things, like because I was talking about them first and then I shot myself putting them all on, and the card filled up and I was like boop, like stopped. I was like, oh man. And then I went over, I had to go back and like delete a bunch of stuff. I like opened, cleaned up like 6 hours of footage. I was like deleted a bunch. I was like, okay, there we go. But and then yeah, then you noticed that like I recorded a bunch of the outros without having my mic on me. It was like in the room, but it was on the other side of the room because it was where I had it next to me when I was getting dressed. And I was like, damn it! And I was like putting everything away, and I was like, oh wait, where's that? I was like, oh, the mic's over there. Oh man, I had like already taken off some of my gear and stuff, put away the tripod, I took it back out, took the camera out, put everything back on. And
yeah,
did you ever find other any? Other...
I did.
Oh, okay.
So I just somehow good. I didn't.
Yeah, I was like, I know, like I wouldn't have done only one. Like that's just not, you know, that's not what we do. Like you got to do a few.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, I think I did like I probably did more without the mic on, but by that point I'd already done 6 or 7. So you know, I kind of knew like it was getting cleaned up anyway. So
yeah, I think I only used one or maybe two.
Yeah.
Of the end ones. Yeah, when I was editing, I was like, oh no, we forgot. And I was like, okay, because I kind of I just go through stuff in order.
Yeah, right.
I put it together in order.
Yeah.
And then I finally saw Mike and the last one. I was like, oh, thank goodness. At least we had this one. But then you're like, oh, there should be more. And I looked and there was.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was nice because you did. Yeah, there were nicer takes on the other one. So I used that and it all came out nice. It's a nice little video. It moves along, it's interesting.
Yeah, when I was.
Reactions and stuff.
Nice. Yeah, when I was putting on all the gear, I was trying to decide, like, okay, how much do I, like, what do I put on, right? So, like, obviously the pants and stuff, I was like, I'm starting with the pants. So I basically put them on all the way up to, like, my hips and then, like, started the recording and then, like, tied the belt on, you know? And so I was, like, shirtless and I was like, well, if Devin wants to put this in, that's fine. And then I put on the, like, you know, the linen undershirt thing and, like, and then you started the video there. I was like, okay, that's good. Thanks, Devin.
Yeah, it's like, we don't need the shirtless stuff.
Yeah, right. We don't want to impress too many ladies. But yeah, that was cool. That was the first time I actually, like, the night before I told Nicole, I was like, well, I'm going to film the putting on all the gear. So she actually finished parts of that over tunic, that dark gray tunic, that night before. Like, she had to do the neck part, like hem it and do a little cut down the middle and stuff. So she did that for me and got it looking nice. But that was the first time actually I had put on all that, with the dark gray tunic and with the Viningas, which are like the leg wraps.
Yeah.
Like, cause I just got those recently too.
But oh, really? It looks great.
Yeah. Yeah. That dark gray with that like burnt orange is nice. I was like, oh, that's sweet. Yeah.
It all looks really nice.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of an interesting look. You know, it's always kind of interesting when you're trying to be historically accurate and then you know, it's not, it's obviously not our current fashion to have like big blousy shirts and stuff, you know, so it's, right, right. It's a little different, but you like, you hope that you look cool in it, you know, like you hope you find the reenactment stuff that looks cool and not like dodgy, like weird looking, you know, like, so, but yeah, I think they're pretty good. Nice. Yeah. That was a good one. But no, that was fun. It was fun putting everything on, and then I walked upstairs with all my gear on. Like I was like, oh yeah, it looks great.
And there were two little bits of AI I added to the thumbnail.
Oh yeah,
right. Obviously on. The one was the wooden fence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I just wanted something there because it was all kind of black, or maybe there was right. a table the there or something. Table. There was something right. there, and I'd mm-hmm. already kind of darkened the background. I was like, oh, maybe something right here. And it turned out a nice wooden fence was cool.
Right.
And then I also added a belt to your shirt.
Oh, did you?
Because your shirt was, you know, you had kind of thrown it on. And I was going to crop it at, like, your belly and up. Oh, but that right. shot ended up being nice. Like, I was looking through everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the one you're, like, smiling and holding it was, like, the most interesting shot. And that necessarily wasn't the one we were going to use for a thumbnail.
Right.
But because that was like the slow motion stuff.
Uh huh.
But it turned out being like the nicest shot, I thought, to show the full length. And you're like smiling. Right. And it was a good shot. So, but you didn't have any of your stuff on. So I just circled where your belt would be. And I wrote, you know, leather, whatever, Viking belt or something. And it gave me a few options. That one did it. Which it looks crazy. You never know. It looks like a thin, kind of indescript belt. And it even puts the folds where the shirt is.
I'm looking at it now. That's crazy.
You're like, I wasn't wearing anything.
I didn't have a belt on. What was I thinking?
Isn't that cool?
That is great. That's awesome.
Oh, weird. I know. I was like, should I have something that's inaccurate to what he's wearing here? But it's so thin. You don't
know. No, that's actually, it's actually probably more accurate than the one I have. Because my belt's like actually a little bit thicker. You know, and it's funny because Craig, who... I mentioned this before. He's the Jarl, right? He's the leader of our group, and he's like, he and his wife are kind of the ones who formed the group. You know, he talks about like the belts were actually probably like 3/4 of an inch, you know, maybe a little bit bigger, but not too much, like not an inch or an inch and a half, which is like a common for like men's belts now. He said, just like with those like skinny belts, like all of us like bigger dudes just look like ticks that are about to like explode with these little skinny lines around our waist. So he's like, you know, whatever, if you want to wear a 1-inch belt, like gotta wear a 1-inch belt, but yeah, what you have here is probably more like that. It's more like a 1/2 inch or 3/4 of an inch, so it's actually probably more accurate to the historical accuracy. But yeah, that's great. Yeah, it's funny. Looks good.
It turned out good.
And I like the spear and swagger. That's fun. Like when I saw that one, I was like, it's kind of funny. You know, it's like cool because it's me putting on the gear and stuff. Like swagger.
Yeah, and then I just grabbed a shot of you standing there after you'd put everything on.
Yeah. Yeah,
so, yeah, nice. Maybe I'll throw that in next, you know, next to him, and that worked.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks good. And yeah, so that video that came out today at whatever, it was probably 12 or something that we put it up, and it has wavered between 7/10 and 8/10 throughout the day. So, you know, it's like, it's fine. It's doing what normal videos do. Like, it's not doing worse than our average. It's, you know, our average on views, our average on impressions, click-through rate, and it's above average on average view time, which is good. So,
which is nice, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, it's another one. It's our last... So what do you think for the last video? Should you just sit there and kind of talk to the camera?
I don't know. I think it's just going to be... I'm thinking it's just like a time lapse of just me shutting the shop down.
But you got to say something, though.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, you got to do a... It's over. You know, thumbnail. We got to have a dramatic thumbnail.
I guess so. Yeah, I guess so.
The end of it.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe I'll like, you know, do some... expounding on my thoughts about the shop and stuff and just get it on camera and you can decide how you want to put it together.
Yeah, I mean, I can come over and we can shoot some stuff. And
okay. Yeah, I mean, probably, well, actually, so yeah, if you're good on Sunday this weekend, we could probably do some then because that's when I'm going to start doing it because Saturday is going to be mostly doing other stuff, packing, and then, you know, Saturday and Sunday I'll be doing shop stuff, but, yeah, I'm going to try to get a bunch done this weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's strange. I'm like excited, you know, because I had this like a bigger shop, the 18x20. Mm-hmm. But it's not like a ton bigger, you know. So like in my mind, it's like all this extra space. But I think once I get in there and start putting things around, I'm not sure if I should like try to get in there and plan it all out before I put stuff around, or if I should start just like setting stuff up and like live with it for a little bit and then adjust it as things seem like they need adjusting. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I mean, I think I have a pretty good idea of like my workflow in the shop and where I want things like to be near each other, you know? So like, I think I can do that, but having additional space and having a square rather than a long rectangle is going to be different. You know, that's definitely a new,
you know, I would think you want to have two usable sides of the shop, because right now you have one. You basically have right. an L-shaped wall.
Right.
And now you'll have basically double the wall space, maybe.
Right. Yeah.
So that's it, with something in the middle.
Right.
Another workbench in the middle, and you can extend that workbench maybe with whatever. But
yeah, I mean, like, is, you know, having the extra space in the middle will definitely allow me to have a better table saw, which I want to have. I've been wanting to have for years, because it's just having that space that you can have an outfeed table, and the outfeed table can just be my main work table, but have the table saw like I have now on one end of it, but a bigger table saw with like more, you know, just like something that's it'll take up more space, but having like a square shop, it allows for that space.
Yeah, and you don't necessarily have to store stuff in there, right?
Right. Yeah, no.
You have an attic and a basement.
Yeah, exactly. There doesn't have to be any like random storage that's things that are going with the shop.
So. I would plan it out. Who knows how many more chances you'll ever have in life to do it like that.
Yeah, no, I know. I mean, I'm definitely going to plan it, but I just don't know like...
And I think you should definitely think of a wall where you want to, you know, a good shooting wall.
Right. Yeah,
I mean, it can kind of be set up the same way it is now with the table in front,
right?
But just an interesting backdrop for that right. shooting. Whether you hang stuff up there or you, like it said, you add some type of extra shiplap or something to right. one side yeah. just to have a cool, like backdrop, if you got extra fence boards or something,
right?
You know,
yeah, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. I'm excited, and you know, it's gonna be different. Like, this is where I am now. It's the first real shot that I ever had, you know. So, so I'm excited to like have a new space and have more space and kind of build out some. And but there are definitely some things that I like about my current space that I'd like to, you know, try to recreate. And you know, that kind of first order retrieval stuff where you have things close by. I like that about my current shop. You know, where it's like, if I'm working a device and I need a random spring clamp, they're like right above my head. You know, like they're all there. Everything is like close by.
It'd be cool to plan out some filtration system.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it'd be nice to plan out. You could leave yourself a big spot on one side for a couple machines that you don't yet have.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Because all this CNC and laser and all this stuff is getting a lot cheaper.
Right. Yeah.
So if you had a big spot or a big bench on one side where you're like, we're going to reach out to some places.
Right.
And have a couple machines that can cut stuff up for me.
Yeah.
You know, and look into that, because you finally have a little bit of space. And sometimes people do reach out, and we could probably get some either discounted or maybe for free. And you can get some heavy duty machines to really kick some butt and cut stuff out for you in the future.
Right. Yeah. 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 No, that's a good idea. It's good to like think about that way, you know.
Right.
And I mean, I think, you know, having the additional space, like I would like to have some type of wood storage like I have now. But that could also be, you know, built outside, and that's not necessarily have to be inside, but you know, my current wood storage, I like having that in the shop. So that would take up some space, but you know. But I'm definitely also going to be building a smithy on the back side of the garage. As well as like some type of little shed thing on the back as well. So it'll go across the whole 20 feet, and be, you know, I probably want to make it a little bit bigger. So maybe 10 feet deep and, you know, 20 feet wide. So the actual smithy might be something like 10 by 15 and then they'll have like a 5x10 kind of pull-in shed for the lawn mower and rakes and, you know, garden stuff.
Yeah.
Because right now it's 8x12 is the smithy, or maybe 10x12, I forget. Maybe I'll make it a little bit bigger. We'll see. But
you're not going to try to take that over?
Take whatever.
The smithy?
I don't think so. The lean-to? I don't think so.
Why not?
No, just because, like, so all the roof is not, like, super sound, so it's, like, has been leaking over the years, so I could probably just take it off, but then, like, then what's left is, like, the 4x4 posts and the roof joists. Like, I guess I could take it apart, but, you know, take it all down and reuse the wood, but, like, I don't know. I'm not sure. We'll see. Maybe I will. But, like, I think, like I said, I want to make a bigger smithy, and it needs to be, it'll have to have doors and walls and stuff that I can shut and padlock, you know, because I am, like, on Main Street.
You could cut it and make a lean-to for your other stuff.
Right.
That, you know, just things, bikes and stuff you want to throw under it.
Right.
So you cut the 4x4s at, you know... So it's only
at 4 foot. Level.
So it's at 4 foot high or 5 foot high.
Yeah, right.
And then something literally you could duck down and put stuff under on one backside or, you know,
of the
thing, and just have a. If it leaks a little bit, it's all right. But you can keep bikes and extra crap that you will collect.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Maybe. Or leave it. Because, like you said, you know, no one's. People who buy that house, they know, you know, who knows what it's probably just gonna get knocked down. It's a shame. So you want to take whatever you can that's worth.
Yeah, it's more like if I had the time to do it, you know, I gotta take everything in the house first, you know, and I gotta take the shot. So if I have time to take everything down and take down the smithy, then maybe I will. You know,
maybe we'll do it when I come over. We'll just get out a circular saw.
Yeah, right.
We'll cut it and then we did with Maeve's tree at, like, her little playhouse.
Yeah, right.
We just throw it on the back of the truck.
Corinne. You said Maeve. I said Nicole.
Who knows? Mm-hmm. One of these gals.
Yeah. I mean, even still, you know, like, I could, like, the whole roof of the smithy is attached on four points. You know, it's like on the four verticals. Everything is attached there. So, like, I could pull that stuff off, pull the roof off, disassemble it, and then, you know, take down the verticals. Yeah, I mean, I can do it all. It's obviously put it up. You know, it's just screws and stuff. So, but it's just, it just takes some time. Yeah. You know, I mean, and I'm not going to be like, it's not going to take all day to do all the fence post stuff either. So maybe I'll work on something like that in the morning and then Sunday work on the shop. But
yeah,
it's busy. Very, very busy.
You got a lot of shit to do.
Yeah. Right.
No, it is. It's stressful and exciting and, you guys got a cool house and a nice big house, you know.
Yeah. We're very excited.
That's exciting to go from a small-ish house to a big-ish house.
Right, yeah. And it's actually, like, the amount of room that we have, like, the bedrooms and the, so the first floor is kitchen, dining room, living room, foyer, and then the second level is bedroom, bathroom, right? Three bedrooms and bathroom. So it's not that much different than what we have now. We have three bedrooms and we have a kitchen, dining room, and a living room. But it's, but we have tons of more storage. Like, we have a full basement that can be just a basement and not my shop. Yeah. And, you know, that's the whole footprint of the house, which is like 22x25. Yeah. And then we have a full attic that's a walk up attic. So it will feel like a ton more space. Because all this stuff that's living in just this one floor,
you don't have to pile storage in the rooms as well as the rooms.
Exactly.
What's up with the basement? Yeah. There were no pictures. I haven't got any description from you. What's going on with the basement?
It's just an empty basement, like a full square basement, totally empty, no walls. Yeah, it's just open. Party. Like, washer and dryer down there. It has it's a concrete floor. It's not like a finished basement. It's just a concrete basement. Like,
can we
full height, you know?
Can we take a quarter of it and make it into something, some type
of,
some type of like, podcast area or bar thing or gaming yeah. area?
Yeah, well, we want to like, it's going to be the leather working space because we don't, you know, because we have like the big leather sewing machine and we have all like the leather supplies and stuff. And so, you know, the studio, which is one of the rooms up on the second floor, is going to be a studio, but all of the extra studio supplies, all the art supplies and all the stuff is going to pretty much live up in the attic. So that way our studio can be a little bit more open, you know, but the attic is right there. You walk up if you need extra paper, you need fabric or whatever, like you're doing some sewing project, like all the stuff can be there without it having to be in the room of the studio. You know, the studio yeah. can actually be more of a space, because we would also like the studio to be a guest room if people come over, you know, like,
right.
So then we like kind of move a table against the wall and maybe we have a futon mm-hmm. in there or something or a nice air mattress.
I love the idea of having an open, like, basement. It's such a nice thing. I wish I had, because
I know
before I have a dream, like yeah. I did with the shed, which I might do this year too, because we got a little tax money back. So I might mm-hmm. finally finish the walls and the ceiling, because there's so much water damage now in that she shed. I have right. to fix that first now before I do yeah, anything yeah. else. I love the idea of opening a door into something totally different.
Yeah.
Like I said,
yeah.
like a pub or someplace with a table in the center or right, some type yeah. of, like, you know, something really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of, like, obviously, like, man cave things that are cool where they look like Irish pubs.
Yeah, right, right.
Which I love. Like, I would love to do something like that. yeah. Be good content us.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it's like a, it's a blank canvas.
And then it'd be a place to hang that. I mean, obviously you have parties outside and whatever, but yeah. if it's like you want to have a poker night or whatever other type of games, who knows what. Well,
yeah, right.
You can all
yeah.
go down and hide in the little
the corner. The yeah. Right. And like I said,
O'Hara's Irish pub, you go down there and yeah. come in.
But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's open and it's yeah walk down, like,
because we know got, we like, you know it, yeah. we know how to frame in a, we could frame it in real quick.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, we could make it. Yeah, we could divide the, you know, have the basement like half of it in one thing and half of other stuff, or
right.
Yeah, cause yeah, we want it to be an open space. And like I said, we don't have, I mean, we have a decent amount of stuff, but not that much stuff, you know. So like it's gonna be kind of more open.
And you have the attic. Yeah, so even if you split it in half and right. made two rooms out of it, one mm-hmm. room's an extra utility room, one's this, but one's like a secret blah 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 room, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever cool thing you'd yeah. make for a YouTube channel.
We do want to make the attic kind of a cool space. Like, we need to put in, like, right now it's not insulated, you know, so we'll probably do just, like, hard foam insulation between the rafters, put that up, and then...
I mean, attics aren't normally insulated.
Right, no, they're not, you know, but we want it, like, it's right off of the studio, and it's, like, walk-up, so we kind of want it to be, it's kind of a cool space, you know, so we want it to be, like, a usable space. And Nicole wants to get a loom, and so, like, she was thinking she could put the loom up there, and it's got a little window that faces out front, so we're thinking about putting some cool chairs up there and, like, rugs and fabric and stuff, and, you know, like, we have a bunch of rolls of fabric which we might hang, like, from the rafters to kind of yeah. close in the stuff to make it kind of like a, you know, like a fortune teller's, you know, tower yeah. or something, you know, like,
Gypsy's tower.
Fabrics and, yeah, Gypsy Rumpel's Tower, Dustin. Right. Yeah, exactly. You go up and it's, I mean, you know, there's like shelves of art supplies and stuff. And you
that
know,
is,
like,
I mean, that is the great thing about owning a thing.
Yeah.
All these crazy ideas. You're like, fuck it. Let's just do it.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Life's short. Like, what are we waiting for?
Yeah. Let's you wanna, do. You guys want to see this cool attic? Like, let's see the cool
yeah,
attic.
Like,
know?
Yeah, whatever you can, whatever you want to do, the shop, the attic, mm-hmm. whatever basement stuff. It's like,
yep.
Let's just do it. If we have an extra $500 this month, like, we didn't right. you know, let's, how about we put it into this?
Yeah.
And then just do something. Because right. there's a lot of waiting around to do things, but when you finally own something, it's like, let's just do something interesting. Let's, yeah. you know, let's get things going. Why not? Life's yep. short.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're excited. You know, it's a new adventure. We'll see.
I'll try to push you to do cool things, and we'll do videos. We'll make like 30 bucks off of it.
Yeah, well, there's definitely like plenty of content, so yeah. We'll have lots of stuff. Setting up a new shop, that's gonna be fun, you know. Building the new smithy, whatever. Like, we got lots of fun stuff to make, you know, and like a whole 12 years of current, you know, living in this space to know like what things I'd like to change and do and make different, and you know, like,
yeah,
it's cool. It's exciting. Cool. All right, let's do some recommendations. I will say for mine, my recommendation this week is Justin Dietrich, who we've had on the podcast a couple times.
I have him again.
Yeah, his Instagram is Dietrich and Sons on Instagram, so that's like where he does his own stuff. But he also runs the Instagram for his school. And he's a shop teacher at a school, and the Instagram for the school is the Rail Splitter Wood Shop. He does wood shop. He's been posting some stuff about it, and he's actually he said the superintendent of their school system came by in the beginning of the year and you know, was impressed with what he's doing at his wood shop, and was like, "What's your dream shop? You know, like, give me your dream shop and I'll make it happen." So Justin's had this whole year to basically, like, you know, design a dream shop and whatever he wants. So he's actually been posting some pictures of like of 3D renderings and things and his current shop and like what he wants it to look like. And it'll happen this summer for him.
Dream shop at the school.
Dream shop at the school. Nice. Yeah. What's your like dream wood shop, you know, classroom. So new tables, new set, like whatever it is, you know, whatever he wants, things that he's like, you know, over the years has like done and realized that could be better in a different, you know, setup, but you just kind of live with what you have as a teacher, you know. They're basically like letting him build and, you know, design and build a dream shop. So he's, man, I know.
You know what he gets? You know, he's got like a dream shop at home too.
Yeah, he does.
Beautiful, that awesome like barn timber frame barn.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to talk to him and see. I mean, he wanted to have some classes out there.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be great, man. I'd love to go out and see him. And, you know, I've had that same experience of basically being like, okay, if you guys could change your classroom and do different things, what would you do? And so Katie and I got to kind of figure out what we want. Like, you know, we're blank slate, like we want new tables and we want to set up this way. When we move these things over here and we want new cabinetry and da da da. We had this whole list of stuff and basically gave it to our board and they were like, okay, you know? And so like most of that stuff has happened and, you know, things that haven't happened are still in the works, you know? So it's like, it's really cool. And it was just cool to be able to like do that in a space. You know, when you live in a space for a couple of years, you start to, there are like things that hold you back that you know of, but that you don't have the money to fix it, you know, until someone gives you that money, you know, it's like,
yeah,
let's do it right. You know? So yeah. So like I said, he's been posting some stuff both on Dietrich and Sons on Instagram, as well as his Rail Splitter Wood Shop on Instagram. So you guys can check him out there and see what he's doing, because it's some cool stuff. And he's also posting pictures of the newest like timber frame structures that his students have been making, which is
super cool. I hope he comes to Maker Camp this year. It'd be good to see
him. Yeah. Yeah, it would be good. Yeah, he's definitely missed when he's not there. Yeah. So. Yeah. Yep. What do you got?
All right. Before mine, got a little news. Getting the Bamboo A1 printer tomorrow.
Oh, really? Nice. Yeah.
Which is the same size as the P1 and the X1. I think you have some at your school.
Yep. Bamboo Labs. We have the X1.
X1
Carbon.
Yeah, those are quite expensive.
Yeah.
But really great. But so I basically got the bed slinger version, which is the, you know, the bottom moves.
Gotcha.
Moves around. It's not enclosed. So if it's not enclosed, you're limited to certain types of filaments, but it doesn't, you know, I don't necessarily need the other filaments anyway.
Right. Yeah.
And I can't afford it. You know, if it was given to me for free, that would have been cool, but I reached out and no one got back to us. So I'm buying the bed slinger version, and it's coming tomorrow. It's got the same build plate size and it basically almost the same speed.
Oh, awesome.
Almost the same speed as the big ones.
Nice.
A lot of the stuff is the same. It's just, it's open and it has a AMS light system, so it means it can hold, it could have four different colors.
Oh, right on. Nice.
Yeah, so you can do multiple color prints. Mm-hmm. So yeah, up in my game a little bit.
Yeah, I will tell you that, like, when you do, if you know,
a lot of
when
waste.
You're doing multiple color prints, it takes a lot longer. Because the filament has to like, exchange itself after every, you know, every single layer. So, you know, adds a ton of time. But whatever, you know, like, if you just get it going and just, like, go, walk away, you know, like, go overnight.
No,
like,
I've done.
Who cares how long it takes, you know?
I've done way too much research. So I've watched every video about every printer and, you know, I know how much time and sometimes color waste and stuff, depending on what you're doing and layers. Right. I just figured I want to, if I was going to get the next step up, that would be it. Yeah. Multiple colors, a lot faster and a lot more user-friendly, because mine was my ender, you have to level it yourself.
Yep.
You have to do all these things yourself. And I wanted something that would just take care of that, because that was always the most annoying part.
Yeah.
And Bamboo does all that stuff. It self-levels and does these checks and things and all these, you know. And also it has a, you know, the camera that you can check on when you're away from home, which was huge.
Nice.
Because now I'm like, you know, I was nervous to do it before. I had no idea whether, if we left the house, should I leave it running? Because, you know, something can go wrong, and then it's just shooting spaghetti everywhere. So, you know, you can do it from, I can set it up. So hopefully, you know, well, you know, if I'm, I could be at work and start a print and then watch it. Like, hey, you know, when I get home after the ball game, this new thing will be done. You know?
Yeah, and there, and like, so what did you pay for it, if you don't mind me asking?
It was, it's on slight sale, and I got it from Best Buy a little bit cheaper. So with tax, the printer and the AMS like combo like system, $540
Okay, nice. Yeah, that's amazing thing about, like, I like it. With technology, when it gets better and more around, it gets cheaper, right? So, like, you know, with 3D printers, like, our MakerBot that we originally got for the school was probably, like, $3,000 or $4,000. Even if you buy them now, they're still, like, $3,000.
Right.
The Bamboo Labs X1 Carbon, if you buy just the carbon, it's $1,000.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's crazy. Like, that's a lot cheaper and a brand new, way faster. Yeah. Way better, you know, self-leveling, like the you know, it's crazy. So then, like, you can get something like that, like, where now you have, it's a much better printer than the original Ender 3. You have all these new things, and it's like, it's not $3,000-$5,000 like it could have been, you know, 6 or 7 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, they're, and that's, I like that about Bamboo Lab specifically, is that they're like a really good company and they're not crazy expensive, you know, so.
Yeah, all
it's like the best of both worlds.
Yeah, all the things I wanted were like, then that's a great thing about getting a cheaper, that's a good thing about 3D printing. You can get into it. Mine was like $160 when I bought it.
Right. Yeah.
But you gotta put together, there's a lot of tinkering. But like we say, you know, you tinker and learn and fail, but it's a good way to learn a machine and why doing things. So then after you're done tinkering with the then you're like, all right, I don't want to tinker.
Yeah,
I want something self-leveling. I need a camera. I want different colors. I want this. I want more speed and reliability, and all those things are with the Bamboo. And really, I mean, if I were to get the Bamboo without the AMS, it's like, it's like $300 and some bucks.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
You know, for an extra $100, I went with the auto. Yeah. You know, color changing.
Yep.
And that'll be nice, just to have four things at all times. You know, I don't have to switch anything. I just go, I want to print this in black, and I'll print this in gray and whatever. Mm-hmm. And then when it comes down to it, I want to, it's another great excuse with the kids, because we're looking at stuff. You know, it's like she was, you know, Maeve was getting excited.
Yeah.
We'll print that out. Print this out. I'm like, oh, yeah, we'll print a toy out. Why not? Try it out.
Yeah. That's great.
But
yeah, so. And it's, and you know, fast too. Like the
so much
faster.
So much faster. Like half the time of all the stuff I've been printing out. Yeah. But, you know, I guess I'll give it away. I'll give it to Guy or something. I don't know. He can mess with that.
Yeah, nice.
But, yeah, okay. All right, so that was cool. A little news. So I'll, you know, I'll update you guys next week.
Yeah, right on.
James May has a new show called The Great Explorers. It's on like Channel 4 in England, but right now you can find it on YouTube. Just search James May Great Explorers. Right now it's on a channel called Loki Chomp. LOKICHOMP. Definitely not legal. He's definitely just ripping them. But if you watch them while you can, they're pretty good quality. Columbus, Walter Riley, Captain Cook, all these great explorers. He kind of does this thing where he goes to the places and he learns about sailing and learns about this and that and goes and checks stuff out. And he's kind of funny, but good stuff. A new show from James May. So
nice. Right on.
The Great Explorers.
Sweet. You love those guys.
I love those guys. They all play all stuff. I'm just like, whatever you got, I'll watch.
Yeah. Nice. Cool. All right. Well, there we go.
Have you watched Clarkson's Farm?
Yeah, I watched some of it. I watched like the first season, I think. Maybe the first and second, some of the second season. Nice. I can't remember.
It's good stuff.
But yeah, it was fun. Speaking of next week, I'm not sure if we'll be recording next week or not, just because this week and next week I'll be preparing to move next weekend, so we'll see. We're closing on Friday next week, and we typically record on Thursday night, so we'll see how much I get done if the house is mostly packed up, which I'll be doing every night until then. If we're kind of making good headway, then maybe we'll do the podcast, and if not, then maybe not. So
we'll take a week off.
Yeah. About it. And then we'll update everybody on it when we get back.
Yeah.
But other than that, guys, thanks for hanging out with us. Make sure you check out our new video over on YouTube, the Spear video, Spear and Swagger. So yeah, I didn't actually do any of the Spear work on the video, but we did talk about it a little bit, and then made the Spear and put it onto the
handle.
Put the handle on the spearhead. And made the kind of the replica pin, which was kind of fun, the rivet. But yeah, and then put on and talked about all the different gear and stuff that I wear. So check it out. Let us know what you think. Put a comment in it, like it if you do. And then you can also head over to Instagram. I'm going to try to like post pictures a lot and maybe stories a lot while in the whole process of breaking down the shop and all. Make sure I have a lot of content on that and people can follow along when we get to the new place. And same thing there. I'll do a lot of content on setting up the new shop. So keep your eye out for that, and that'll be stuff that'll be coming out this week, and you can find that on Instagram at The Art of Craftsmanship, and then you can see what Devin's working on as well at The Art of Camera Guy. Check us both out, and if you don't follow along for fun and interesting things happening from The Art of Craftsmanship. And then lastly, if you want to support us further, you can head to patreon.com/ The Art of Craftsmanship, and you can support us there. All the support, it always helps and always goes back into the channel. And so we appreciate everyone who does help, for as little as possible or as big as possible. We really appreciate it. So those of us who help us out there, we have a ton of thanks for. And if you're so inspired, you can head over there and support us. But you can also just share, and you can also, rate our podcast and tell people about it and share it and get more people listening. So that works too. All right, Devin. We'll catch up with you, and we'll hang out this weekend, and we'll try to bring everybody along with social media posts.
Yeah, man.
All right, everybody else, thank you guys all so much for listening, and we will talk to you next time.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.